Hello, everybody. You are at the 1 o'clock panel, Rhythm and Words, panel number 1515. If you weren't planning on being here, don't leave, and I'm happy you're joining us. If you are planning on being here, I'm excited to have you. My name is Emily Volk, and I will be the semi, in quotes, moderator for this panel. This will be largely self-directed by these very competent and rhythmic people that we have here with us from all sorts of different mediums. I'm just going to go down the line really quickly, and I hope you're all excited. I am too. This is David Wilcox. He is a guitarist extraordinaire. Followed by Mary Reynolds Thompson, who is a poetry therapist and writer. Next, we have Allison Delphium. She's a student at University of Oregon and a music industry professional. And then we have Sam Cook, who is the co-founder of Button Poetry and a National Poetry Slam finalist.
Champion!
Not just a finalist, he won the whole dang thing! Okay. Then we have Ronnie Barak, who is a percussionist. He has been doing mini concerts the last weekend with a new group here in Boulder. You'll also see him at the jazz concert. And he's also a composer. He has a new CD out.
Thank you.
Followed by Joe Sexton, who is white, Irish, rhythmically challenged, and afraid to be on this panel. Next, we have two representatives. I'm very happy to be joining us. They are representatives from the CU Breaking Club here on campus. We have Jeremiah, who is a senior and is the PR director of this club. I'm so sorry, I forgot your name. And Jackson, who is the videographer for the club. They also may or may not be dancers, which you may or may not see later. So I'm going to open this up to Helen is hiding in the corner. Helen De La Rosa is also a very accomplished drummer here to joining us for the jazz concert. I'm so sorry, she was hiding. Helen is from the Dominican Republic, and we're really glad to have her both on our jazz concert stage and on our panels. So, I'm going to transition a little bit into this panel. So, this panel is about rhythm. It's about words. It's about any combination of the two that we experience in our lives. And I find these two integrally connected. My inspiration for this panel came from something that comes from, or it's a new rendition of a poetry event that Alloc Media is putting on lately in Boulder at the Laughing Goat Cafe. It's called Jazzetry Nights, where they pair slam poets with percussion instrumentalists, and they just see what happens when both of them combine. And you get this interesting blurring between slam poetry, music, and even in toward the rap domain. We won't be addressing that today because I'm not an expert on rap or a historian or could speak to it with any sort of credential. But we're hoping to blur the lines between these two very rhythmic but different ways of conveying meaning in art and in our daily lives and in culture. So I'm just going to open this up. It's going to be a rather open-ended and self-directed conversation between the panelists to start about how rhythm informs their work, how they embody rhythm in their work, and what this means for them, and how they transmit it to an audience, really just capitalizing on this incredible aspect of the human life that starts with a heartbeat and can be exuded into large crowds, into persons, into any art form. So we're going to start with David Wilcox.
Start with David Wilcox? Oh my goodness!
One thing. Okay, this is going to take a moment while he heartbeats us along. Along with our heartbeat of this music, our heartbeat of this year's CWA is the CWA app, which I hope you all have donated. We have a flyer up on the wall over there. And one of the most important aspects of our app this year is the ability to ask questions through it. So if anybody does not know how to go through this feature, go find the panel in the schedule, select the panel, and there should be the option to submit a live question. This is how we will be taking and fielding questions for this panel. If you absolutely cannot figure it out, Alexis in the back, our lovely producer, who I want to thank for joining us here today, if everybody can see her, she has note cards, and raise your hand if you need a note card for the old-fashioned way of writing questions. And then deliver those to this podium, and we will get to those toward the end of the panel. Thank you very much.
obviously a panel about rhythm and words. Could take a day or a week or two. But the trick of rhythm and words is to say the right words at the right time. And sometimes you feel the push of a word in your heart that you need to say. And you're late in that rhythm. Maybe the word is yes. Maybe the word is no. Maybe the word is, I need more time. You can go.
Okay. Well, you really set the mood now. I don't know how to talk. So we kind of wanted to talk a little bit about like music and rhythm and how like we use that to communicate, as David was kind of showing, and like how it's music is like the heartbeat. In the music industry, kind of how I view rhythm is not just the physical playing of it, but how musicians communicate with one another. So when you're in a studio setting, we kind of use rhythm of the vibe that's going on. Is it a fast-paced song? Do we work fast-paced? Do we work slow? And kind of how the basis of music and how we have that is based on our heartbeat, as David was playing, and how music has evolved around that. So the reason why, like, when we hear certain rhythms, we experience emotional, like, effects to that is because music is biologically related. So in my personal opinion, I kind of view rhythm as the way of how we communicate with one another, not just through playing or, like, spoken words, but our daily interactions with one another. So that's what I say.
How are you guys feeling today? So, the first thing I want to talk about rhythm is just how it can be united and totally different, right? So we're all in the same space, we're having the same experience, and I guarantee you that even though a lot of us talk or perform, we're experiencing this whole different rhythm inside of our bodies than you are. I mean, how many of you have your heart racing right now? Hands? Anybody? So we got a few, but I bet that people up here are experiencing more hearts racing, you know? And yet we share the same space. We're having the same dialogue, you know? And I think at these panels in the CWA, it's really important to break down and address that this is a discussion. We don't know facts that we're telling you guys. We're trying to tease out truths that we share together. Cool? So that's what I'm going to be talking about the whole time I'm up here, is how we share rhythm. Before I did that, I kind of wanted to read you a poem and ask someone to maybe play some, so add some rhythms to it. Cool? Is that cool? Will anyone offer to help out? Yeah. Just do what you will. Cool. You and me sat down in the same state for the first time in years, in front of two glasses of bourbon. We were trying to figure out how to cross the 5 years and half a continent that had somehow managed to slip in between our bar stools. See, try as you might, you cannot be best friends from across the country. So we just told stories from when we still were. And the retellings had a rhythm like the rock of your old Mustang against the highway, and I realized that no matter how long you have been gone, home is wherever people know your stories. And one of my favorites, the bar door opens quiet, but the whole room turns anyway. Like we're letting their smoke out, letting too much sunshine in. We were a beer deep when a guitar man sat down in that furthest, most crooked corner of the dance floor, and I tell you, if he did not sing like an oak, he sang like a shipwreck. Bartender appeared behind me. She said bourbon. It was not a question. And slowly, slowly, that ramshackle stage started to wail. Sounded like that guitar man had strung the whole bend of the Mississippi up the neck of that Gibson. We got two more and drank with that bartender. Her name was Mary Lee, but everybody called her Granny. I tell you, that woman was cast iron. I watched her slosh whiskey through her teeth like it was mouthwash, heard her hollering like a coven of cowbells when her great-grandson got up, hugging a harmonica between his lips like it was a wooden rod and he was a seizure. Boy blew harp like a rusted gear, like a wind chime built out of junkyard cars. I tell you, that night I heard the sound of a sail being ripped from the chest of a ship. This was the music of stranded survivors. These were the first people I had ever seen break while they danced. And just like that, the gap between our bar stools vanished. We sat arm to arm in Mark Twain, the sounds of shipwreck and seizure. We Faulknered that chorus of old men who hummed tune like whistling indoor country crickets. We retold our favorite stories, taking turns as if we were somehow remembering them together. And there, in the magic of bar light, our friendship did not look so fragile. It did not look as if it had been stretched thin across 2,000 miles. Instead, it was as if we two storytellers had somehow bent the ends of the interstate until all the distance between us looked like one long Mobius strip of highway, the last exit leading right back to that bar. And we were not adults who lived in different states. We were still just those kids about to push open that front door. Because home is wherever people know our stories. So when I talk about rhythm, what I actually mean is when suddenly you say something that just happens to be at the right time and line up with everything else that's happening. Because I really didn't even pick that poem on purpose. I'm not kidding, I didn't think about it saying rhythm, I didn't talk about having breakdancing or music or any of that. It's just like, oh, this one's next. And yet it seems to work. And that's really how I think rhythm is, when you find yourself doing the same thing naturally because it's correct, because it makes sense. And I'm just going to pass it on down, because I've been talking for a long time now. Thank you so much. Bye.
Century Fox. Thank you. a very clear example of how rhythm really affects us. It's incredible. You just feel it. We all feel it. And that translates on our life, how we speak. That's why poetry is so cool. When they like speak in that way, and show them that they like invite you in, super close. And then we're a little bit more rhythm, or faster, and you're like, whoa, whoa. That has the impact. It translates something, it communicates something. You can say the same phrase, same words, same melody, in different rhythms, and suddenly you have that whole meaning. It has more effect because my rhythm is low. I'm like, nah. But if I'm like, I'm happy today. I'm really excited. You'll be really confused. You're like, what kind of happiness is that? Are you sure? So that's why rhythm is so important. Because it's not just us talking like, oh, yeah, rhythm. But it's actually, it's a matter of your musician or poet or anything. You're in it. You can't help it. Every day, with every choice you make, every thing you say.
Sorry, I apologize. Can you hear me now? So really, I mean, all my life is about rhythm. I wake up in the morning, and sometimes I hear a bird or something like, even drops of water. It makes it for me. I could hear things sometimes. I remember I was going from Bergerac by train to Bordeaux. And one lady was sitting, you know, beside me. I could hear like a samba feel from the train sound. It was so, you know, like inspiring. I couldn't bear it, you know. I just like pick up my phone. I thought that she's going to think that this guy is crazy. And I had to record something with the train sound. So what I did, I took my phone and I made myself talking like on the phone. Yeah, I don't. So in a few seconds, I felt like, am I Mr. Bean? Yeah. So really, I mean, many times. I mean, by the way, I mean Rowan Atkinson. I'm a big fan of. He's a drummer, the guy. I'm not sure if you watch his video on YouTube playing drums with nothing. You should see this. He's an amazing comedian. He's a British comedian. You know Mr. Bean, Rowan Atkinson, yes? Yeah, so he's amazing. He played like nothing, but he played a drum kit from nothing. Amazing. Anyway, you've seen it, I'm sure. So I'm going to demonstrate like some of the rhythms that we use in Lebanon. I'm from Lebanon. I play the darbuka. I've been playing since I was 3.5 years old, and I've been coming for the CWA for the last 13 years. Yeah, new boy, yeah. So I think I'm getting old here, huh? No, I'm still the same, actually. I still feel the same. So I'm going to demonstrate a little bit of my instrument, and perhaps later on we can do something with Helena. I want to challenge her. I just actually went Helena just like 5 minutes ago. We never met, we never played together, but maybe we can challenge each other in rhythm. What do you think, Helena? ¿Qué piensas? ¿Bien? ¿Podemos tocar juntos? Solamente quiero tocar un poquito. I'm showing off now that I speak Spanish. después podemos tocar juntos. ¿Claro? Ok, muy bien.
I have musical instrument envy. But then I go, no, I have a musical instrument too. In fact, everyone in this room has a musical instrument. And I always love the idea that when we talk, we're actually shaping wind. So we are wind instruments in the politest sense of the word. So as you may have gathered, I grew up in England. And we're talking here a lot about rhythm and sound and how it's different for each of us. And I think it's so incredibly important in a world that has been taken over by day language, by the language of transactions and business and simple, short, declarative sentences and get to the point and speak concisely. And really, will you just keep it short? That we allow ourselves the sheer, sensuous, erotic pleasure of language that lives in the mouth and the tongue and that stirs us and vibrates and creates this incredible, what I'm feeling, erotic sort of quality between us. So it's going to be very strange, having said that, that I'm actually going to begin by reading a poem by a Jesuit priest. But I happen to think that Gerard Manley Hopkins is one of the most deliciously erotic poets that there is. And, you know, I was brought up in a Catholic boarding school and struggled to feel a deep spiritual connection. But through poetry, I really felt that connection to the divine. And I'm inviting all the percussionists and guitarists to chime on in with this. But this is called Pied Beauty. Glory be to God for dappled things, for skies of couple color as a brinded cow, for rose molds all in a stipple upon trout that swim, fresh fire coal, chestnut falls, finches wings, landscape plotted and pieced fold, fallow and plow, and all trades their gear and tackle and trim, all things counter, original, spare, strange, whatever is fickle, freckled, who knows how, with swift, slow, sweet, sour, a dazzle dim, he fathers forth whose beauty is past change, praise him. And when I first heard, thank you, that poem, I didn't know what he was talking about. I still don't. I haven't even looked up brindled. I should have looked up brindled. I don't know what a brindled cow is, but it sounds like a cow that has things on it, like spots and splotches. But the point is, I didn't care, because the music, the sound, the joy and assonance and alliteration and all the wonderful poetic devices just lifted me up like wings in the soul. Voice is very important in England. You get classed, you get put in where you lie on the hierarchy depending on how you speak, and particularly how you say your vowels. And my mother was obsessed with my vowels. So we had a corner store called Boots, which was like a chemist's, and she would always go, no, darling, you're not going to Boots, you're going to Boots. No, going to Boots. But this is a wonderful, silly, delicious poem, which most of you are probably familiar with, by Edward Lear, who's best known for his limericks. And here I really do need help with percussion and thing, because it's a very simple poem. It's the first one I ever learned and have now forgotten, so I'm going to read it. At 6 years old and rather tubby and deeply earnest, I memorized it and charged people money to come and hear me speak it. Hubris even then. So there we go. So The Owl and the Pussycat by Edward Lear. The owl and the pussycat went to sea in a beautiful pea-green boat. They took some honey and plenty of money wrapped up in a 5-pound note. The owl looked up to the stars above and sang to a small guitar. Oh, lovely pussy, oh, pussy, my love. What a beautiful pussy you are, you are. What a beautiful pussy you are. Pussy said to the owl, you elegant fowl, how charmingly sweet you sing. Oh, let us be married, too long we have tarried, but what shall we do for a ring? So they sailed away for a year and a day to the land where the bong tree grows. And there, in a wood, a piggywig stood with a ring at the end of his nose, his nose, his nose, with a ring at the end of his nose. "Dear pig, are you willing to sell for 1 shilling your ring?" said the piggy. "I will." So they took it away and were married next day by the turkey who lives on the hill. They dined on mince and slices of quince, which they ate with a runcible spoon. And hand in hand on the edge of the sand, they danced by the light of the moon, the moon. They danced by the light of the moon.
Yeah.
First time on a panel, so I'm a little bit nervous. So I'm Jeremiah. I am a senior studying mechanical engineering here, and I have been dancing for, this is my 9th year of breakdancing. So I'll give a quick brief history about breakdancing, or as my mom calls it, cleaning the floor. So breakdancing, or breaking, started in New York in the 1970s. Specifically in the Bronx neighborhoods, by African-American and Latino youth. It was started as a way to curb their energy, their anger, because they were mostly from low-income, low-opportunity families, and because of that, they usually got into trouble. And so breaking became a way for them to resolve their conflicts, release their energy, solve problems without any violence. In connection to rhythm, I'll turn it over to my videographer, Jackson.
I wrote down what I'm going to say. Hello? Okay. Do you guys know the Netflix original series, The Get Down? Okay. So in there, the DJ, he said a line that I remembered. He said the DJ is the conductor, and the dancers, the b-boys, were the instruments. Because we have bodily response to rhythm, to music. So our movements are actually dependent on whatever the rhythm is, and our movements change based on the music we hear as well. So for example, I'm gonna try. So when we hear dum stat, dum dum stat, that's a break beat, and you know, he started nodding because he's starting to feel that beat. That's something we're familiar with. But if we hear like dooms, 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 see how there's nothing? So different style of dancers, we have different rhythms that we naturally respond to, or we're conditioned to respond to. But of course, good dancers, they should be able to dance to any melody, any rhythm. So what that brings is that when we try to dance to different styles, we come up with different movements and even flow. So for example, if I try to dance to contemporary music, I might go slower, but my movements are still rigid. All the way around, if a contemporary dancer tried to dance to breakbeats, she might be a little bit more fast-paced, but her movements are probably likely to be more fluid than we are. That's all I have to say. Go.
Okay, so I'm Nikolai, president of the City Breaking Club. I've been dancing for 8 years now. I would say with rhythm, with dance, it's like a way for us all to be connected. So there's been so many times where I've met people at dance events, and they don't speak English, but we can still dance together, and that's how we communicate, is through our dance. And for me, it's a lot easier to communicate with that medium of dance rather than with actual words and stuff. So it's easier to get across the emotion when you hear a really angry beat, you can really embody that, or if it's really happy, you can your movements become more happy as well, and you get to communicate that emotion to people through our dance.
I just wanted to add that, like I said before, rhythm is a part of every one of our lives. It's in our heartbeat, it's in the way we walk, it's in the way we talk. And so because of that, I believe that no matter how old you are, no matter how young, no matter how clumsy you think you are, you have the ability to dance, you have the ability to play an instrument. So if you want to, go out there and try it, because you'll be surprised at how talented you actually are, because rhythm is so ingrained into who we are that I have a feeling that everyone can pick it up very fast.
So we're going to invite them out into the hallway to stretch, prepare whatever they need, and we'll see them again in a moment. And I have one very small little tidbit, you know, like a side note about our sober Irishman. ProPublica, his news data, or news, what do I, platform? God, I'm losing my words because it's too exciting. Okay, you just won the New York Daily News win. You won the Pulitzer Prize. Okay. Whoa. I can't say the word. It's too good. In ProPublica, everyone. New York Daily News Pulitzer Prize winners. Wow. This is incredible. All right, well, now whatever you say can just be like soften the blow with your fear.
Well, there's no more better glory hog to me, but I can claim no credit for that. But it is a lovely achievement for our organization, ProPublica, which actually did a partnership with the New York Daily News. Probably went to percussionists and poets who been, you know, up against the wall for being a nuisance. It was a powerful series, and it provoked plenty of reform, and it won the Pulitzer Prize for public service. So, I was going to say that Emily had not fully cataloged all my handicaps as somebody could talk about this. The white and the Irish and the sober. So if there was a chance I was going to dance today, probably was when I was drinking. But maybe the greatest disqualifying aspect of myself is that I'm actually a newspaper man. And much misunderstood, derided, and now nearly extinct. Creature. And there are a lot of unpleasant things that can legitimately say about newspaper people over the years. But one thing that I've always been particularly proud of as a newspaper man was that you had to perform under pressure. So I began at the New York Times 35 years ago as a young punk sports writer. And it doesn't sound particularly glamorous. I wasn't involved in saving democracy or winning Pulitzer Prizes. I just wanted to get the score right and get the 800-word story filed on time. But when you're writing on deadline and you think the game is 3-2 and somebody just hit a home run, in the bottom of the ninth, and now you have to write 800 new words in 6 minutes. And there's somebody on the phone yelling at you, where the fuck's the copy? You write to a form. What you need most of all is to find some kind of rhythm to get through the next 6 minutes. So, I think I have more credentials to talk about driven than I think. And that was actually sort of reinforced for me, so that when I was a young sports editor, I worked first at the Magic Press International. My first sports editor loved them from the moment I saw them. Bad, bushy hair, cigar chomping, profane, language loving, hard charging, competitive. And I was like, wow, I want to be that guy. I may just kiss him. Anyway, he went on to a great career at Philadelphia Choir and other newspapers. And then I, out of the blue, I read a newspaper story that said he had just won an award for poetry. And I was like, fuck, I knew there was a connection between sports writing and poetry. He was just a lot better at it. And so he's done a number of volumes of poetry. One of them is built around the life of a newspaper and the newspaper news film. And I'll read one for you. I think you got the rhythm. It's called Morning Edition. When I walk out of the newsroom, usually around midnight these busy days, there's always a scattering of copy editors left, tapping out changes to the first edition. No one is talking, no one looks up, hands flying. They lean over their keyboards like racers on motorcycles. How peaceful to be one of the lucky ones off deadline now, to walk through this light range of parking lot thinking, what the hell, this is just a newspaper. Newark, barred up storefront rattle in the wind, a taxi whizzes by, the driver looking lost and afraid to stop. In the all-night gas station, young gangsters chattering, white t-shirts hanging like hospital gowns. They stare from the edge of news, not quite drifting yet. And farther down, the yellow news truck idle at the loading dock, drivers smoking and talking, silhouetted in headlights. For tomorrow, we offer a photo of bloody hands passing a coffin over a crowd in Baghdad, and a photo of the president grinning like a boy who ate a grasshopper, and a jubilation of the bowling team that won the lottery. A new planet, discovered by the Hubble telescope, a speck of light you almost have to imagine to see. A cure for cancer, that probably won't last. The cop killer rising for his sentence like a crazed plant before the judge. The governor lying about the lie he told the day before. The state senator from Bergen calling his committee into secret session. Killer tree in Rahway, roof weakened by rain, this rain, toppling on a doctor and his wife. How peaceful to walk out into the world we just wrote about while it shimmers as it's just made. To walk through the steam of sewer vents past the crouched, drizzling doorways of the draggled Newark, having told what we knew, which we always find out what the meant was after all. And to then drive away as the forklift wobbles across the loading dock, breaking the unsteady rails of the morning.
So we've gone through all of these people individually and some collaborations already around their own approaches to rhythm. And now we have a very special individual hiding in the corner. This is Tolua Obawole. She is, are you the current Youth Poet Laureate?
Or,
the 2015-2016 Denver Youth Poet Laureate. She is a slam poet and a CU student, and we're so happy that she can join us all today. I think if we can get this mic over here, I don't think it's active right now, whoever's controlling that one, get that one on. And I'm gonna invite Sam and any percussive musicians or anybody that would like to collaborate on at least one poem from Sam if you'd like to do another, and one to two from Tolua with more musical accompaniment, inviting you out into the front so you're not hidden behind this desk, David Wilcox, for example. And we're gonna explore those intersections a bit more. Mm-hmm. If anybody else has any responses, yeah. Oh, you're good? And one more thing, just so you all know, I don't think we're going to get to a Q&A portion. This is going to phase more into performance. And I just ask that instead of participating through Q&A, that each and every one of you participate in CWA and in this panel, through sharing your experience here. So sharing, either telling somebody about a cool thing or a moment that you saw or at another panel today, either on social media, in verbal, writing it down, sending a letter, maybe donating to Betsy or Jonel. But I'm not harping you about that at all. I just think it's a very important thing to share what moves you and to elicit more of that in your community. And so if anything in this panel moves you in this performance section, please share, whether it's on Facebook, in an email, in a note to somebody, in a comment to a participant. It's just a very important thing to do, to be participatory, and I hope that you all can do that instead in place of asking questions today. So I hope you enjoy the next segment of this panel.
Thank you. Say a language dies every day. Some, like cats, disappear into a melting winter night. Others, like old women with their children's names, their favorite songs, fresh on their lips. All the words uttered by family and family. Thank you.
know, we have to have a dancer.
Dancer? Are they ready?
If you're over there, we invite you to come stand over here so you can see us, and give us energy. Don't. It's okay if you like shout, if you scream, if you clap, because the more energy you give us, the more energy we'll give back to you guys. Thank you.
Dance here. Thank you so much, everybody. I think we're going to end this a little bit early and have you just have a time to engage with participants if you so desire. But I hope you guys just felt how collaborative all of that was. You were just watching dance and listening to music, and you were clapping and you were